Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF, the program in which we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers. I'm Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Mitman, Shlomo Ben Sarah, Dorit Bat Sarah, and Moshe Ben Miriam, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Nankin, Victor Hasdai, Pesach Zeb Ben Dov, Lunita Adler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Harav Mir Kahana, Harav Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mitman, Dennis Shore, Helen Friedman, and Charles Zolat. We're going to discuss a very important subject on the opening this week to the program. It's a subject that we have discussed to a certain degree in the past, but it's really gotten out of hand, this problem, and it has to be exposed and dealt with, and that's the problem of AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, which is the so-called Jewish lobby, which only harms Israel and the Jewish people. And I think after you hear everything we have to say here, you'll agree that the things they're doing are very harmful. A terrible disaster for the Jewish people. Just a disastrous organization and an example of how crazy this generation of Jews really is. We live in a generation which is so upside down. Everything, all our priorities are upside down. All our thinking is twisted and distorted. It's really tragic. What is AIPAC doing? First of all, let's understand that the danger to Israel's very survival comes from the possibility that we're going to lose Judea and Samaria, which we are. We're losing huge parts of Judea and Samaria every day because of illegal, massive Arab building, which is financed and backed by the European Union, the United Nations, the U.S. State Department, U.S. government agencies, by all types of countries in the world that are assisting them, by self-hating Jewish billionaires like George Soros. They have hundreds of millions of dollars that they're spending to build illegally throughout Judea and Samaria and take over Judea and Samaria on the ground. They're creating a so-called Palestinian state in everything but name. Now, let me make very clear, there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. That's something that has never existed in history and is a complete Arab bluff and Arab lie. But they want to create something called a Palestinian state, which would mean that the Arab terrorists would take over Judea and Samaria, our biblical heartland, and Israel would be in boundaries that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. Completely suicidal. Abba Ibn, who was an extreme left-wing socialist labor party leader, said that these borders are Auschwitz lines, suicide lines. And Golda Meir, another labor party socialist, said that any Jew who would support returning to such boundaries would have to be a traitor. So it's not just us right-wing Kahanists that make these statements. People on the left, even on the far left, always warned us against creating a Palestinian state, against returning to borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide, borders that would have Arab terrorists within 1 mile of the Israeli airport so they could shoot down any Israeli plane at will, borders that would make all of Israel, the entire state of Israel, all 7 million Israeli Jews, the targets of Arab artillery, rocket fire, and missiles, which is what happened when Israel retreated from Gush Katif. All of southern Israel now receives thousands of Arab terrorist missiles and rockets that are fired into southern Israel all the time, paralyzing cities and creating catastrophe there, economically, socially, and otherwise. All of Israel would become like that, and much worse, if a so-called Palestinian state were created. AIPAC supports the creation of a so-called Palestinian state. One of the first things they say in their platform is they support what's called the two-state solution, which means that Israel will be vivisected, which means that we will lose all of Israel's biblical heartland. And by the way, if Israel doesn't keep Judea and Samaria, and if Israel's not interested in Judea and Samaria, it has no business being in Tel Aviv, because Tel Aviv and the other places in Israel are much less significant historically and otherwise to the Jewish people than Judea and Samaria. Judea and Samaria is our biblical heartland. And if a so-called Palestinian state is created, it would be created with Eastern Jerusalem as its capital. We'd be giving up Jerusalem as well. AIPAC supports this plan. AIPAC states openly that they support the creation of a so-called Palestinian state. and they're doing something about it. What are they doing? They're donating in this year's elections, this year's midterm congressional elections. They have already donated tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, at least tens of millions. We've added up at least tens of millions from the races that have been publicized, but the donations may come to hundreds of millions, maybe even greater than that, but at least tens of millions of dollars AIPAC has donated to 140 House Democrat candidates, all of whom support a Palestinian state and Israeli national suicide. All of them, all 140, want Israel to do something that would be suicidal, are demanding that Israel do something that the majority of Israeli Jews, even assimilated, self-hating Israeli Jews, even the majority of them have said, no, we don't, this we don't want. We won't want a Palestinian state, according to one poll after another. And many Israeli Jews are so brainwashed and so confused and so un-Jewish in their thinking, and yet even they, even the majority of the Israeli Jewish population doesn't want this, because they realize how insane this is. But a so-called Palestinian state will be created. It will be created if we allow continued illegal Arab building in Judea and Samaria, and allow the Arabs to take over on the ground, because they're taking over 90% of Judea and Samaria. They're effectively creating a Palestinian state in everything but name. And once they do that, God forbid, all they have to do is declare a state, and the whole world will recognize that state. It will become inevitable. It will become unstoppable. That's their plan. They openly say so. And the European Union and the UN and other international globalist agencies all say that this is their plan. And the Jewish left in Israel openly says this is the plan. You have to be a fool not to realize that this is what's going to occur unless we wake up quickly. The only people on the ground that are fighting against this are the heroic hilltop youth. The only people who have broken out of the established Jewish settlements and are establishing settlements on land which the Arabs want to seize, and the people and the hilltop youth are preventing them from doing so because of the hilltop youth outposts, dozens of outposts on strategic hilltops throughout Judea and Samaria that cut Arab population centers in half, that prevent them from creating a contiguous Palestinian state. If not for the hilltop youth, the Arabs would easily overwhelm and swarm all over Judea and Samaria and take it all over. AIPAC is against the hilltop youth. AIPAC is against Jewish building outside of the 2.5% of Judea and Samaria that has been designated for Jewish settlement. According to the rules of the Israeli government, only 2.5% of Judea and Samaria is for Jewish settlement. Anything outside of that is forbidden. Jews are not allowed to build there. It's illegal. They're illegal outposts, they're called. That means 97.5% of Judea and Samaria has to be Judenrein. And if it's Judenrein, it's not going to remain in a vacuum. The Arabs are taking over. The Arabs have already taken over areas A and B, which is 40% of Judea and Samaria. The other 60% area C, they've taken over more than a third, which is another 20%. So they've already taken over 60% of Judea and Samaria, and they intend to take over 90%. Over 90%. We're losing this battle, except in the places where the hilltop youth are. Where the hilltop youth are, we're having victories. Small victories here and there, but victories that give us hope, which is why the first thing that everyone demands in negotiations to create a so-called Palestinian state, the very first demand is to get rid of the hilltop youth settlements. AIPAC disagrees with that. AIPAC wants a Palestinian state. And all of these insane Jews with kippot on their heads, who claim to be religious and who claim to be against a Palestinian state, are members of AIPAC. Most of the AIPAC membership and most of their money comes from religious Jews who are against the Palestinian state. So why are they giving money to AIPAC? I mean, what are you, insane? This year, AIPAC has given at least tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions, but we've tracked down from articles and them openly talking about the races, they've openly speaking about the races they've donated to already, at least tens of millions they've given. to 100, and they brag about it, to 140 House Democrats. 140 Democrats, all 140 support a Palestinian state, support Israeli national suicide. And they're giving money to support their election or their re-election, either their election or their re-election. Some of them are incumbents, some of them are insurgents. AIPAC, you know, there's something called the House Progressive Caucus, which are AOC, Bernie Sanders supporters, those types of vicious Jew haters, the worst Jew haters. Half of the members of the House Progressive Caucus have received donations from AIPAC. That's who AIPAC gives their money to. When you support AIPAC, that's what you're supporting. People who support AOC, people who support Bernie Sanders for president. That's who you're supporting. That's the Jewish lobby? And I know that the reason these people support AIPAC is because they think we have to push for foreign aid. We need U.S. foreign aid to Israel. So-called U.S. foreign aid is so harmful. It is terrible for Israel. First of all, it represents less than 1% of Israel's economy. Even the New York Nazi Times, we did do a show on this in the past, actually. You can look it up on Rumble and on Odyssey. We did a video on this. How the New York Nazi Times had a front page article saying that U.S. foreign aid now accounts for less than 1% of Israel's economy. Israel can easily do without so-called foreign aid. The only thing U.S. foreign aid does is create an artificial dependence on the United States. Israel can't produce many of her own weapon systems, a lot of her own technology. The United States has the power to veto it. Israel can't sell weapon systems to other countries, which Israel would earn tens of billions of dollars if they were able to do this. Israel is restricted, her hands are tied, and not only that, the United States can pressure Israel in area after area. For instance, Iran is close to building nuclear bombs, which is another existential threat to Israel. Palestinian state is one existential threat, nuclear Iran is another existential threat to Israel. Successive Israeli prime ministers have told us this can lead to a nuclear holocaust, and they're right. Successive Israeli prime ministers have said that if the Israeli Air Force wanted to take this program out, the Israeli Air Force has the military capability to do so. So why don't they do so? Why don't they eliminate the threat of nuclear holocaust? Because these cowardly prime ministers, including Benjamin Netanyahu, who is the biggest coward of them all, these cowardly prime ministers are afraid they're going to upset Washington. And maybe that'll upset U.S. foreign aid. U.S. foreign aid, which Israel doesn't need, which only hurts Israel. But this U.S. foreign aid is used to pressure and blackmail Israel to do things that are suicidal, that are insane. The best thing for Israel would be to cut off U.S. foreign aid completely and let Israel become independent. Israel easily has the ability and to be independent, and would be far better off economically, militarily, and in every respect if you eliminated this artificial dependence on the United States. And if Israel were able to produce her own weapons, and if Israel were able to produce her own technology without the restrictions the United States currently places on Israeli technology development, and if Israel were able to act against things like Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, Israel would be far safer and far stronger and far richer and far more advanced in every respect, and far more Jewish without so-called U.S. foreign aid. But that's... AIPAC goes to the Orthodox Jews and says, if you don't have AIPAC, we'll lose U.S. foreign aid. What will we do? Without foreign aid, Israel can't survive. What a joke. What a farce. Now, AIPAC also gives money to Republican candidates. AIPAC gives money to everybody. AIPAC gives money also to Republican candidates who support a so-called Palestinian state. They donate to them as well. And we're against, even if theoretically you have a Republican candidate who supports Israel, you should not give a penny to that, because that is not worth Jewish money. Jewish money should be going to the Hilltop Youth to save Judea and Samaria, and Jewish money should be going to wake the people of Israel up and get them to get rid of an Israeli government and successive Israeli governments that are preventing Israel from fulfilling her destiny as a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests, which we can be, which the Bible commands us to be and which we can be. God has given us all the tools to do what we're supposed to be doing, but we have leaders in Israel and in the United States, leaders like AIPAC and leaders in Israel like Gantz and Netanyahu and Bennett and all these other leaders, all of whom are like the person who catches the football and runs and scores a touchdown for the other team. That's what they do for every time for us. And we got to wake the people of Israel up fast, because the danger is growing. There's a constant danger growing on more than one front. So this is where Jewish money goes. This is where Jews get... And by the way, AIPAC is like the umbrella lobby for all the big Jewish establishment organizations, including so-called Orthodox organizations. insane. The so-called Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee, Hadassah, the National Council of Young Israel, the Orthodox Union, all of them support AIPAC. That means they support a Palestinian state. And they support 140 House Democrats. And let me make it very clear that the Democrat Party is an anti-Semitic party. This is a party that honors and respects and gives support to the worst anti-Semites. Barack Hussein Osama, who was president for two terms as a Democrat, is a Farrakhan supporter and supported Israeli national suicide. Jimmy Carter, vicious anti-Semite, was the Democrat president, whom all the Democrats honor and respect. Same thing with Bill Clinton, another anti-Semite, who pushed for Israeli national suicide till the day he left office. Right until the very last day he left office, he was pressuring Israel to commit suicide. That's the Democrat Party. The party of Farrakhan, the party of Jesse Jackson, the party of Barack Hussein Osama, the party of Jimmy Carter, the party of Yasser Arafat and the Oslo agreements. That's the Democrat Party. The party of AOC and Bernie Sanders. That's the Democrat Party. The party of BLM and transgenders and sick, demented people who are either sodomites and anti-Semites and haters and socialists. And that's the party that AIPAC gives tens of millions of dollars to. This party, AIPAC, that's what you're giving your money to if you support AIPAC. And all these so-called religious Jews are supporting this? Complete madness. We should be supporting the heroic Jews of our generation, the Hilltop Youth. They're the Jews that are doing what should be done in our generation. And unbelievably, JTF is the only organization doing this. The only organization that supports the Hilltop Youth. What a disgrace. How I hope and pray that other organizations will come and start supporting the Hilltop Youth. How I hope and pray that that day will come when there'll be other organizations that will do so and will give money to the Hilltop Youth. But you can help the Hilltop Youth. And by the way, with JTF, none of your money goes to fancy offices or salaries. Your money's not going to go to salaries or fancy offices. We give 100% of our money, 100% of our budget to the Hilltop Youth. I don't get any salary. Not only don't I get a salary, I'm not a very rich person, but almost all the things I own in my life, I'm handing over to the Hilltop Youth. I'm 65 years old, and I'm handing over almost everything to the Hilltop Youth. They are so noble and so idealistic, and such an example of everything we read about in Jewish history, of great Jews in history. And instead of supporting them, and instead of saving Judea and Samaria so that we'll have a Jewish state that isn't 6 to 9 miles wide, and instead of preventing a Palestinian state from coming into being and frustrating the massive efforts of the Arab world and the Arab League and the European Union and all of the Jew haters that murdered 6 million Jews 80 years ago and that wanted another Holocaust now, instead of preventing all of this and defeating all of their efforts, which is what the Hilltop Youth are all about, instead of doing that, we're giving money to AOC and Bernie Sanders people? That's what AIPAC does. And it's not enough just not to support AIPAC. You have to support the Hilltop Youth. That's what Jews must do. If you genuinely support Israel, you can't be silent and can't sit back and watch this catastrophe unfold. You have to do what all of us are obligated to do at a time like this. This is a national emergency. And you were put into this world to make a difference and to save the Jewish people and fight for the Jewish people. I'm talking to my fellow Jews here. Righteous Gentiles also will get great reward if they help us in this endeavor, and we do get support from wonderful righteous Gentiles. Jews, though, are certainly obligated to do everything they can. First of all, Jews are supposed to be living in Israel, and Jews are supposed to be on those hilltops joining the hilltop youth. And if we don't even support them financially and back them up, and instead support organizations like AIPAC, which are doing the opposite, which are burying Israel with a Palestinian state. It just doesn't get any worse than this. There are two ways you can support the Hilltop Youth. One is online. You go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, and on hayamin.org, most of the page is in Hebrew, obviously, but we have a donate button in English. You go to hayamin.org and click on the donate button in English, and in several minutes you can very conveniently and easily make a generous donation to the Hilltop Youth. That's online. If you prefer to support the Hilltop Youth through the regular mail, you just send a check or money order to our post office box. You can make the check or money order out to JTF, which stands for the Jewish Task Force. That's a political organization. It's non-profit political, but it's non-profit but political, so it's not tax-exempt. But if you want to do tax-exempt, you'd have to make the check or money order out to VJA. VJA stands for Voice of Jewish Activism, VJA. And whether you make it out to JTF or VJA, whether you want the political organization or the tax-exempt organization, whatever you want to do to support them, any way you do so is fine. You then send it to our post office box, which is JTF P.O. Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. JTF P.O. Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. Okay, let's get to our questions from our great JTFers this week. And we start out with the great Hirvatsky Noachide, who always asks great questions. And Hirvatsky this week asks, 1. Why is it prohibited for a Jew to teach Torah to Gentiles in the canonized Hebrew or Aramaic text? See Tractate Chagigah 13, or in English, Chagigah 13. Let's discuss I don't know that it's prohibited only in Hebrew. I think it's prohibited in general, but there are Gentiles and there are Gentiles. Harambam teaches us that it is not prohibited to teach Torah to Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach can learn oral Torah. And we're talking about oral Torah, the difference between oral Torah and written Torah. Written Torah, the first five books of the Bible. First five books of the Bible called the written Torah. Torah Shebe'al Peh. I'm sorry, Torah Shebichtav. Written Torah is Torah Shebichtav. And that includes the 613 commandments. But it's impossible to understand the commandments and understand it without the oral Torah. Oral Torah, and that is Torah Shebe'al Peh, is something that basically the Jews are the only ones that really read or study that. That includes, of course, the Talmud and the writings of Chazal, of our great rabbinic scholars. It is forbidden to teach Gentiles who are not Bnei Noach oral Torah, because they'll distort it. Look what they did with the written Torah. They took the written Torah and completely distorted it. They said that it's that the laws are just symbolic and you don't have to follow them and distorted everything written there, and created a situation where they claim that the written Torah has prophecies for Yeshu. Yeshu is Jesus in Hebrew, which is all completely false. They falsified and distorted the entire message. You could not have a more clear message in the Torah. that you have to believe in only one God, and that the idea of God becoming a man or Trinity or anything of that nature is complete idolatry, completely unthinkable in Judaism. Unthinkable. But they managed to take the written Torah and completely change it and distort it. So we don't want that happening with the oral Torah. And so the oral Torah, the Gentiles did not learn the oral Torah and were not interested in the oral Torah all these years. And that was actually beneficial because they would have distorted that as well. And but Bnei Noach, that's a whole different ballgame. There's a difference between Bnei Noach and the other Gentiles. Bnei Noach are Gentiles who are righteous Gentiles, who are following the seven laws of Noach because they believe that those laws were given to them by Hashem. And so they are part of the Brit, they're part of the covenant with God. They're Gentiles, but they're part of the covenant with God. And so they can do a lot of things which other Gentiles, we're not supposed to help other Gentiles do, because the other Gentiles are going to use it for purposes of idolatry and other purposes that are harmful to the world. Whereas Bnei Noach, we trust Bnei Noach and believe that Bnei Noach will not do that. Anyway, that's just certain clarifications that I think are important to make. Chervatsky now writes, and I quote: "Too, do Jews see both as their national language or is Aramaic an important foreign language?" Okay, here Chervatsky is asking if Hebrew and Aramaic are both the national language of the Jewish people, or if Aramaic is an important foreign language. It's an important foreign language. Aramaic is not a Jewish language. It's a language that was spoken by many Jews in history. Millions of Jews in history spoke Aramaic. But it is not a Jewish language, and it's a language that was spoken also by many Gentiles. And it is the language... And it is the language of the Babylonian Talmud, and much of the book of Daniel in the Bible is written in Aramaic. So you do have some Aramaic in the Bible. You even have Aramaic words here and there in the Torah. Man is manna from heaven. Manna that we have in the Torah, the story of man is actually a word derived from Aramaic. And there are other words that are also Aramaic, even in the first five books of the Torah, and certainly in the Bible. The vast majority, of course, of the Bible is in Hebrew, but there are portions that are in Aramaic. So Aramaic is an important language, but it is not the language of the. It is not a Jewish language, but if you want to learn Judaism and understand Judaism in the original. And the original translation, like the Babylonian Talmud, for instance, understanding Aramaic can be very helpful. Thank you, Hirvatsky. And we now go to Truth Spreader. By the way, Truth Spreader, I saw that the disgusting censors of YouTube took down your great site that you had where you know, Truth Spreader was doing great... copying of our videos here from our shows and posting the videos, was doing a great job, and I saw that they took that down, and that's really shameful. But you certainly deserve tremendous credit for having done that, and it was not a waste because a certain number of people saw it before they took it down. So you made your attempt to do that, and we should be making attempts on other sites. If we can't do it on YouTube, we should do it on other sites. But we've got to get the message out. Truth Spreader now writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, what was the difference between segregation in America and apartheid in South Africa?" Unquote. There are a lot of differences. South Africa was majority black. The United States, of course, was overwhelmingly white. Now, there were some southern states like Mississippi that at one time were majority black. But in most cases, even the southern states were majority white, so it wasn't a question of a minority ruling over majority. And of course, you have the dominant American culture here. The dominant culture of the United States is far more advanced than the dominant culture on the continent of Africa. Even though Africa had Dutch and British settlers that tried to bring some civilization, Nevertheless, black Africa, so backward and so dark and so brutal, and that, you know, it didn't do it. They really didn't do that much good. You see that the darkness and brutality and primitive nature of African culture is the same. So there are differences, but overall the concept was that the races should be separated. That was the similarity. That was the similar concept. I think it was a tragedy that blacks were brought to America for purposes of slavery. I think that should never have happened. It should never have been done. And, you know, the fact that blacks today are so filled with hatred and envy and so viciously anti-Semitic. The Jews never did anything to them. They blamed the Jews for slavery. The Jews had nothing to do with slavery. That's a complete lie. And they blamed the Jews for the slave trade even. The Jews themselves were like slaves in Europe, in European ghettos when this was happening. It's completely absurd. But they try to blame the Jews for slavery, and they try, you know, they look to target people who actually helped them, which really speaks volumes about how ungrateful and vicious most of them are. Are there exceptions? There are exceptions. If there are exceptions, we have nothing against. If there's a decent person who's black, we have nothing against them. I don't care about someone's skin color. The skin color of someone does not interest me. I'm not interested in someone's race. I'm interested in what type of human being they are. Are they a good person, a moral person, a decent person, or are they evil? And most blacks in America who support Farrakhan, and they support Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson, Barack Hussein Obama, that's just evil. Thank you, Truth Spreader. And we now go to Ram Sheva Sheva Efes, who's going to ask we're going to get a brief question here in Hebrew, which I'm going to translate. I don't know if I'm going to read the whole question, because most of our JTFers don't speak Hebrew, but anyway, we'll start off. Shalom Chaim Hatzadik, Mashlomcha, Sameach Meod, Sheyelecha, Et Harayayon Im Moshe, Fabrikant, Hatotach, Mekave, Sheze, Yashpi Aleman, Noor Hagebaot, Vegam, Al Seruv Haalia Shelcha, Madadcha, Sheachare, Habechirot, Naase, Maavak, Kashe, עם חברי כנסת מול משרד הפנים, אם אתה בעד. שהקדוש ברוך הוא יברך אותך באהבת ישראל, רם מאיר אברהם. And Ram is saying that, you know, tomorrow I'm scheduled to do an interview with Moshe Fabrikant, who does interviews with various people, Moshe Feiglin, who was a Knesset member, and other people, professors and doctors that are pretty famous in Israel. He's an 18-year-old. He's an 18-year-old. He does interviews and programs with a lot of views sometimes on YouTube, and he's going to be interviewing me, and that's thanks to Ram, and I'm very grateful to him. Ram, ani modeh lecha meod she'ata achray la'reayon. עם משה, עוד הישג שלך, אתה משיג דברים בשבילנו, ואני מודה לך על זה, ושהקדוש ברוך הוא יברך אותך. אנחנו עוד נדבר על מה שנעשה אחרי הבחירות, קודם כל נראה מה יקרה בבחירות, אבל נחיה ונראה, ושוב, אני מודה לך על הכל רם. Okay, now we go to our good friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, how do you feel about the people that deny that the Holocaust ever happened? Can you curse these ignorant people? Thanks, unquote. Well, of course I curse them. Anyone who says the Holocaust never happened is an evil Nazi, and I mean, they should experience what the 6 million Jews experienced during the Holocaust. It should happen to them 7 times over. Yimach Shmam V'Zichram Shem Reshaim Yerkav, which means, may their names and memories be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And now we go to our friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, early voting needs to be curtailed. Unless you have a valid reason to not vote in person on election day, such as being medically housebound, you're in the hospital or in the military, voting should be done on election day at your local precinct with a government-issued photo ID. This will prevent a lot of fraud and stolen elections, unquote. Agree with every word, Chicago Jew. agree with every word. I think it's, you know, the reason we have weeks and weeks of election days now. Now you have weeks and weeks to vote is because of lazy blacks. They're too lazy to get out and vote on election day. And so they decided, because of lazy blacks and other lazy people, that they're going to give them 2 whole months to vote, because one day isn't enough for them to go down the precinct and just cast a vote. That's not good enough. That's too much to ask out of them. And so they're given huge amounts of time to vote. Many of them still don't vote. But you know, it's outrageous what goes on. And there should be, you should only be able to vote on election day. I agree with you, and you should be required to present a government-issued photo ID. I agree 100%. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to the great Nachas. The great Nachas writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, 1. While Hebrew is the beautiful language of the Jewish people, do you prefer Ladino or Yiddish, klezmer or Sephardic Israeli-style music? Okay, so it's a couple of points here. First of all, Hebrew is the beautiful language of the Jewish people, and I prefer, and of course, my preference is Hebrew above everything else, but you're asking in addition to that, I love Ladino and I love Yiddish. I love those languages. They're not our language now. Those are languages that we spoke in the Galut. We are not in Galut anymore. We have a Jewish state and a Jewish homeland since 1948, which means that's 74 years already we have a Jewish state. So our language is Hebrew. But Ladino and Yiddish are very colorful, beautiful languages. And there are things that you say in Ladino and Yiddish that are just so imaginative and magnificent. I love those languages too. Hebrew is the greatest, the most beautiful language. But Ladino and Yiddish, I love the languages, but they're not the language of the Jewish people, and we should be learning Hebrew. Nachas now asks, do I like klezmer or Sephardic Israeli-style music? Okay. In Israel, we call the Sephardic music Mizrachit, which means Eastern music. I love klezmer, which is Ashkenazi music, and I love Mizrachit, which is the Sephardic or Mizrahi music. I love both of them. I think they're both great. Jews are very talented musicians. Jews are very talented music writers. All of Hollywood was Jewish. In the beginning, in the 30s and 40s, when Hollywood produced the most magnificent films, over 90% of the producers, directors, writers were Jewish. Even though the Jews were 1% of the U.S. population, it was Hollywood. It was the Jews in Hollywood that introduced America to the world. And in those days, the movies were actually great movies that they created. Jews are just brilliant, creative people with an unbelievable talent. It's a shame they don't use that talent for good purposes. That's something we hope to change. Nachas now, and by the way, the Hilltop Youth are very talented, and they eventually will set an example that eventually, hopefully, God willing, in our time, will wake Jews up. Nachas now writes, and I quote too, could you please comment on the following? Bernard Goldberg. Well, he's a guy who was a left-wing reporter for CBS News, and then he got turned off with them, and now he's with Fox News, and yeah. What can I say? You know, is he accomplishing anything for the Jewish people and for Israel, which is what Jews are supposed to do? Bernard Goldberg is Jewish. No, he's not. So, you know. Sad that it's wasted on just nonsense, talking about Donald Trump and talking about other issues. Trump is not good for Jews. None of them are good for Jews. I mean, we should be focused on the important things, and we don't have our eye on the ball. Nachas now asks about Teddy, Speak Softly, and Carry a Big Stick Roosevelt. The Roosevelts are a cursed, evil Nazi family that is responsible for the Holocaust. And I know Teddy Roosevelt was the uncle of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Hashem V'Rishayim V'Yirkav. 6 million Jews were murdered because of Roosevelt. And that entire cursed family is a family of Jew-hating scum. All of them are cursed. 6 million Jews died because of them. And so, they're all despicable, cursed people. Uri Zohar. What do I think of Uri Zohar? Uri Zohar was an Israeli film director and actor and very famous personality in Israel, who starred in films that were not moral or good films, but he did tshuva, and which means he returned to the Jewish people and became religious and became a rabbi. So I think he deserves credit for that. And passed away recently, by the way, Zichrono Livracha, may his memory be immortalized. And what do I think of Sandy Koufax? I think Sandy Koufax was terrible. I think he set a terrible example for the Jewish people. He's the Jewish baseball player. And I know that he wouldn't want to play baseball on Yom Kippur or on Pesach. He wouldn't play baseball. Wonderful. He married three non-Jewish women. He intermarried three times. All three of his wives were non-Jewish. I mean, that's quite an example he's setting for the Jewish people. Just terrible. I mean, he was so wealthy and so famous. He could have gotten the most beautiful Jewish girl in the world with his wealth and his fame and everything else he had going for him. And instead, he married outside the Jewish faith three times, and he married outside the Jewish faith at a time in the early 60s. He married outside the Jewish faith at a time when the vast majority of American Jews were still marrying Jewish women, when the most Jews were not intermarrying. But he was one of those that felt he had to intermarry three times in a row. I think he's terrible. Thank you, Nachas. And we go now to our good friend Kalman Ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, I have heard you say there are now 1.5 million former Israelis and children of former Israelis living outside the state of Israel. Do you know approximately the proportion of Ashkenazim versus Sephardic Mizrahi in this group? Thank you, Kalman Ben Menachem. I do not, Kalman. I do not know the proportion. I can only tell you from what I see that I think it's pretty evenly divided. Now, I see a lot of Ashkenazi Israelis here, and I see a lot of Sephardic Israelis here. I think it's pretty even from what I see. But I can't give you any precise statistics. I just don't know. Thank you, Kalman. And we go now to our friend Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, discuss the following people. Liz Cheney, you discussed her regarding her father. What about her current behavior going against her party? Oh, I don't care what she does. I mean, she's not good for Jews. That's what I care about. She's even saying now she might run for president. I don't think she's going to be reelected. I think she's going to be defeated in Wyoming because she's being challenged in the Republican primary because she voted to impeach Donald Trump, which is not popular in Republican primaries. So I think she's going to be defeated for reelection. But now she says she might run for president in 2024. She doesn't have a chance if she does. But anyway, she's someone the media loves because she's against Trump and she's a Republican. Even though they hated her father, the whole thing is just not really relevant to us, in my opinion. I don't think she has much influence, and I don't think she's relevant to us. And Benjamin asked me about Al Gore. Well, I think you know that I hate Al Gore. He's an evil anti-Semite who was together with Bill Clinton for 8 years. They tried to get Israel to commit national suicide, and he would have done the same thing. Evil and despicable and a complete hypocrite who talks about climate change all the time and global warming and flying in all of these planes, and releasing huge amounts of pollution into the air just so that he can have a personal flight from place to place. Such a hypocrite, such a phony, so typical of the left. Prune-faced Lieberman, Joe Lieberman is an example of the lowest type of Jew, Yimashmo v'zichro, the lowest type of traitor. He was the Democrat candidate for vice president in 2000, and he said that one of the first things he would do as vice president is invite Louis Farrakhan to the White House. Just scum. Scum. And I could go into 1 million other things that he did. He supported Arafat. He supported the PLO. He supported all the enemies of the Jewish people. Just vermin. Hanoi John Kerry. Obviously I despise John Kerry. He didn't only support the communists in Vietnam. He also, of course, was obsessed with getting... with helping Iran build nuclear bombs, with the agreement that he got to them, rewarding them for what they were doing, and doing everything he could against Israel and against the Jewish people, obsessively. The lowest, he became Secretary of State, for people who don't know, under Barack Hussein Osama, and worked day and night to hurt Israel. John Edwards, because of a scandal, because of his scandalous behavior, cheating on his wife, and just other scandalous lies that he was involved with, is fortunately was forced to leave politics, but also vile. Jane Fonda is a very wealthy, very successful communist who decided to support the North Vietnamese communists and decided to support she decided to support communism against the United States and the Western world. So obviously she's a very evil person. John McCain, another evil, egotistical fraud, who, you know, just, again, bad for Israel. He wanted a so-called Palestinian state, very bad for Israel, and you know, just a disastrous candidate for president when he ran against Obama. Mitt Romney has really shown himself to be completely evil. He has been, every time he speaks about Israel, he speaks about the need to create a Palestinian state. You know, when he was running for president, we didn't hear that from him. We heard a different message. He was pretending to be pro-Israel to get the Jewish vote. Just another phony. Paul Ryan, complete establishment phony, a fake phony fraud from the establishment, who on every issue is bad. Thank you, Benjamin. Now we go finally to our very good friend EB22, who is writing about the video that we did on today. If today's Jewish leaders were in charge in 1948, Israel would never have been created. And he recommends a book by Dr. Mordechai HaKohen. Okay, I'm not familiar with the book. The first two pages are an introduction by Benjamin Netanyahu. That's not Benjamin Netanyahu is the ultimate example of a self-hating Jewish leader. And he says it'll be shocking of what Netanyahu wrote. Yeah, because Netanyahu was a two-face, so it's not surprising. And anyway, one additional thought comes to mind. If you make a new version of a video, related video, the quote by Bibi, which is the complete opposite of how Bibi governed as prime minister, would fit like a glove. Thanks for continuing efforts. Thank you so much, EB22. You're really one of our great JTFers. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoyed doing. We've got to support the Hilltop Youth. We've got to do the opposite of what AIPAC and the self-hating Jewish traitors who call themselves our leaders are doing. We have to act now if we want to prevent catastrophe and if we want to bring final redemption. If we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history and we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.